Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here tonight. And we are going to spend some time worshiping God before we have our Bible study. But before we do anything, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, and for thy grace. We thank thee, O God, for thy call, which we know is what brought us here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. We pray, O God, that thy presence would be here, that thy spirit would be here, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to draw nigh unto thee with our hearts, with our souls, and with our minds. And we pray, O God, that thou would bless this entire service. Let everything we do here tonight be pleasing in thy sight. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find a chorus book, we're turning to number 13 to begin with. Have thine own way, Lord, number 13. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see.
you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to turn now to number 91 and sing Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I truly fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Right here on this page anyway, why not sing number 90? The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower, number 90. The
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 139 and sing Unto Thee, O Lord, number 139.
Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemy triumph. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not enemies triumph over me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals now. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And we are going to turn to number 135 and sing 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Number 135. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to turn now to number 190 and sing Still Sweeter Every Day, number 190. To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictures in its fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. Oh, the half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll will be still sweeter than he ever was before. His glory broke upon me when I saw him from afar. He's fairer than the lily, brighter than the morning star. He fills and satisfies my longing spirit o'er and o'er. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. Oh, the half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before. My heart is sometimes heavy, but he comes with sweet relief. He folds me to his bosom when I droop with blighting grief. I love the Christ who all my burden in his body bore. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. Oh, the half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before. The half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all thy abundant blessings, for all that thou hast done for us. And we pray, O God, that thou will continue to lead us by thy mighty hand. We ask, O God, for thy blessing to continue to be upon this ministry. For we thank thee for thy sustaining power, which has kept us for so many years. We know we would be completely lost and helpless without thee, Lord. And we are so thankful for all that thou hast done. And we believe that thou wilt continue to do these wonderful things for us. We pray, O God, that thou would give us thy wisdom, that thou would give us thy discernment. Help us to know how to use these funds for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. For we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we do have a couple of things to pray about before we sing one more song. And one of those things is Diane would like prayer for her high blood sugar and arthritis. So we're going to bring that before the Lord. And then also we're going to pray again for my mother-in-law, Linda. She lives down in South Carolina. And I believe it was maybe a week or two ago now where she went into the doctor and they found what they said was a mass on her kidney. And they think it's cancer. But she went to the doctor again, and we, of course, have been praying for her. And the doctor this time, he said, I'm not going to call this a mass. I'm going to call it a bump. So it seems like it's actually been improving. So maybe perhaps those prayers are helping. So we're going to continue to pray for Linda and just pray that all would be well there and that the doctors would be guided and directed by the Lord's hand. So let's bring these petitions before the Lord right now.
Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Diane, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch her. We ask, O God, that thou would touch her body with thy healing virtue. We know, O God, that thou art a healer, a deliverer, a mighty working God. We know that nothing is too hard for thee, but we pray, O God, that thou would touch her. We pray that she would feel thy healing virtue now, even right now. I pray, O God, that her blood sugar would be brought under control. We pray, O God, that thou would normalize that, for we know, O God, that nothing is too hard for thee. We pray for her arthritis. We ask, oh God, that thou would take that pain away. We know that thou can heal us. We know that by thy stripes we are healed. So we ask, oh God, that thou would touch Diane. Now, even now, heal her completely, we pray. We pray that she would be stronger and better than ever before. We ask, oh God, for thy mighty hand to be upon her. Give her strength. And we pray, oh God, that thou would lift her up. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And Father in heaven, we also come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Linda, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and continue to work on her, O God. Continue to help her. Continue to strengthen her. We pray, O God, that thou would completely remove this bump, mass, whatever it is this is. But we pray, O God, that thou would continue to work on her and continue to help her, strengthen her. We ask, O God, for complete healing, a complete deliverance. We ask, O God, for thy mighty hand to touch her and that thy healing virtue would flow. We ask for thy blessing to be upon her life. Give her great strength so that she may do the things she needs to do. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn in our hymnals one more time, and we're going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for our Bible study. Let's go to number 19 in our hymnal, Deeper, Deeper, number 19. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and his perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost our trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, till all conflict past, finds me conqueror, and in his own image, perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray, higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher.
thy precious holy word. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Shirley is going to come up now, and she's going to lead us in a Bible study. So thank the Lord and praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise our Jesus. Amen. Well, praise God. He's been good. Amen. And here we are again tonight, and just so thankful that we are able to pray, that we are able to worship, that we are able to open up the Word of God. And we are blessed. I just love that good report there of Leah's mother, and you know, I've been praying that that would go, you know, and you know, we've got to not only pray, but we've got to believe. And praise the Lord with Diane. We're going to believe that God's going to heal her. Amen. You know, infirmities have to go in the name of Jesus. For we serve a mighty God who is able to do exceedingly above that which we ask or think. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. And oh, praise the Lord. And we're just going to just believe God. You know, we maybe at the end of time, and you know, we see all kinds of things happening on this earth, and you know, even things in our own little community that we don't understand. You know, I don't know you online if you all know just some of the latest events, but we did have the explosion a month ago, and now this last Saturday there was a fire. Another apartment was on fire and the roof collapsed and people were taken to the hospital and two people died, and you know, I think some of the, at least one of the firemen was somewhat injured at least. But you know, I don't know, we don't know a lot of times, you know, what's going on. But we do serve a mighty God who knows how to help us and how to make things happen that would never happen. How He knows how to touch hearts and how to change lives. And, you know, we are so privileged because, you know, we can put our trust in God. You know, things that we can't figure out on our own, we could never. But God knows how to do those things. And sometimes, you know, we just sang that song, Deeper, Deeper. Yeah, though it costs hard trials, take me deeper still, you know. And a lot of times, that's what it takes. It takes the hard things on the road to get us to that deeper place with the Lord. And oh, He knows how to do it. But oh, what a wonderful Savior. And you know, we know that, yes, one day all conflict will be past and we're going to be there with the Lord. And not just for a moment, but for all eternity, yes. And how grateful we're going to be that one day He caught our attention and we could see that we were sinners and that we were bound for hell and that we needed Him. And oh, He put it within our heart to repent and to turn to Him. What a wonderful, wonderful thing our God does. Oh, yes, for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, so thankful for all that you are out there and our new friend. I just met the other day, and thank God for, you know, what he's able to do. He's so good to us, and, you know, surely he has answers for all our needs. Praise the Lord. We are going to go, the Lord's help here. Oh, I guess we need to pray, don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord here a minute. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that we can call upon you, Lord. And oh, God, we know that we need you. We know that we could do nothing without you at all. Oh, God, we know we need you even for the very breath that we breathe, Lord. And oh, God, our whole day, our whole life is, oh, God, determined by thee, Lord. And oh, God, we just pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you would be here tonight. I pray that you would help us as individuals, God. You know about our needs. You know about our struggles, God. Oh, God, you know those things that we lack. And God, we know that you are a mighty God. Oh, God, who loved us so much that you put up flesh to come to this world to save us, Lord, from our sins. Oh, God, to be our Lord, to be our Savior, God. Oh, Lord, oh, God, to intervene in our lives. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you talk to us here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you direct this word, Lord. And, oh, God, show us the things that we need to see, Lord. Oh, God, for, oh, God, I know I could do nothing without you, Lord. I know, oh, God, it takes thy voice. It takes thy, oh, will, Lord. Oh, God, it takes thy help. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God, and I pray that you use this. Oh, God, that you take over, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that you give me words. Oh, God, that you use this for your name's sake and for your glory, Lord. Oh, God, again, we know we could do nothing without you, Lord. We pray, oh, God, that you stir our hearts. Take us to that place that we need to be in you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh, God, thy wonderful provisions. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. And, oh, God, we ask that the devil would have no ability. Oh, God, no hindrance, oh, Lord. But, oh, Lord, that your name would be exalted and that you would be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We are going to go, with the Lord's help here, to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Praise the Lord. Calling this the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, simplicity, just singleness, clarity that is in Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is full of confusion and conflict and trouble and turmoil and religions of all kinds, oh, philosophies of all different diverse natures. But, you know, there's a simplicity that comes from Jesus Christ. There's clarity, there's truth, there's singleness. And, you know, the only place we find it is in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So let's go here now to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and to see how the Lord might direct us here tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Paul is beginning this by saying in verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And of course, we know that this is his second epistle to the church that was at Corinth. And I will be going back here, Lord willing, but I'd like us to turn to the 18th chapter of Acts for just a bit here, because this is where this church was founded, in the 18th chapter of Acts. And, you know, we see Paul's concern. This is the second epistle that he is addressing them. And that first epistle is kind of hard. He had to correct some things in that church that had not been going well and that were completely awry and you know, ungodly even. But, you know, he wrote that letter, and he wasn't quite sure how they were going to receive it. And, you know, it appears that they did receive it. But, you know, yet I get a feeling in this second epistle of Corinthians that there's still some trouble, that things aren't just real, real, real good yet at the moment. But anyway, so here, you know, he said, you know, there's just something here that was disturbing him, and he expressed, you know, actually it's his love for these people. He says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He had brought them to Christ initially, and, you know, and his desire was that he would be able to present them before the Lord, before the judgment seat, as, you know, a chaste virgin, in other words, pure and holy in the sight of God, and without spot or wrinkle, as that glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be. Praise the Lord. So here he is, and we'll go back there, Lord willing, but here, 18th chapter of Acts, we see that Paul, at the first verse, he had left Athens, and now he was at Corinth. And while he was at Corinth, he says in verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So here he happened to meet this couple, and praise the Lord, they became instruments in his ministry, and they even did travel with him some after this. But here, there's a pause here. They're in Corinth, and it says in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So it so happens that Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers by trade, and Paul likewise obviously did some of that too. So that was a very good way to get to know each other. And so here they were. They stayed together here. They abode together. He abode with them, and they worked on tents, obviously, together. And then, in the meantime, you know, Paul, with that burning in his heart, you know, he might be making tents, you know, part of the day, but it tells us, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So here he is, you know, initially going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and ministering to the people. And it says he persuaded, is, you know, is some understanding that's coming forth, and not just Jews, but also with the Greeks. And in the meantime, you know, Silas and Timotheus, who had traveled with him as traveling companions, also came. They had been in Macedonia, which was to the north here of Corinth, which was in southern Greece. And so anyway, they came, and Paul felt in his spirit. It says he was pressed in his spirit, and, you know, he must have bore down a little bit harder than he had at the first. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, all at once, obviously, there was an explosion, it seems to me, because it tells us in verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So he did what he could there in the synagogue, but they didn't receive it, obviously. So he got to the place where they were just being very contrary and opposing themselves and even blaspheming, it says. So there was no more he could do. There's no more he could say. So he shook his garment, his raiment, and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. He'd warned them. He had told them everything that was in his heart to tell them, but they had not received it. So he was going to go unto the Gentiles after that point. So it tells us in verse 7, and he departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So I don't know what his position was exactly, but obviously he worshiped God, it tells us, and his house was near to the synagogue, maybe even adjoining, as the scripture reads. And then it tells us, verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So the Lord is beginning a work here in a mighty way. And here we have the chief ruler of the synagogue, this Crispus, believing on the Lord with all his house. And praise the Lord. And likewise, other Corinthians there also receiving the word of God and believing on the Lord Jesus and being baptized. And I'm sure baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so it seems that perhaps Paul needed a little reassuring or whatever all, but God gave him a vision, as it tells us in the 9th verse here. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Oh, that must have been really good news, because, you know, Paul had already suffered many things, especially of the Jewish people, and, you know, he had to leave already many places where he had already been and established works because they would persecute him after a while. And, you know, that's, Jesus actually said, when they persecute you, go to the next town. But so here it is, God gave him a vision, and it also, I believe, helped him to know that he could settle down here a little bit. And God was reassuring him and telling him that there were going to be many people that would believe on the Lord Jesus in this city of Corinth. It tells us in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And then I guess, you know, it just seems like something has to happen, you know, when the word of God is preached eventually here. But it tells, yet maybe this is why, too, that God had already reassured him that, you know, he wasn't going to be hurt in this city. It tells us in verse 12, and when Gallio was a deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Just seems like this brings the time of these events to be about AD 50. And here it tells us Gallio was the deputy of this portion here of the southern part of Greece. And so all at once the Jews are stirred up and they're making insurrection all together with one accord coming against Paul, and they brought him to judgment, to the judgment seat, to the courts. And this is what they said, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Now, I like how God intervened here. It says, and when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. So Gallio, before Paul could open up his mouth, took action, and he actually drove these people away, these Jews that were contrary, that came with this insurrection in mind, in hoping, I'm sure, to dispose of Paul and get rid of him. But God allowed it not to be so, and Gallio stood up for him. And it says in verse 16, and he drave them from the judgment seat. He wasn't even going to listen to them. Praise the Lord. Then it tells us, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. So anyway, I guess the Greeks took it out on the person who was now the chief ruler of the synagogue. And my assumption, we don't have a whole lot of details here in this chapter, but we know that Crispus had been the chief ruler of the synagogue in verse 8. But perhaps, you know, once he turned to the Lord and believed on Jesus Christ, you know, he probably was put out of that position. And I'm thinking that then Sosthenes became the chief ruler of the synagogue, and the Greeks took their anger out on this Sosthenes and beat him before the judgment seat. And then it tells us here, this rather short portion of scripture dealing with Corinth. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And we're going to just leave it right here in the book of Acts, but we can see this is where that church at Corinth was established. And we can tell that Paul had spent a good deal of time here with these people, you know, not only initially bringing the gospel to them, but, you know, that year and a half establishing them in the Word of God. And, you know, there had been some action, and I'm sure there's way, way, way more than this, you know, this brief story here in Acts 18 that happened during this time. But we could see that God had moved, and that there was a people here that had believed on the Lord and that had followed through and obviously had it in their heart to follow after the Lord. So then, going back here to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, again, this is down the road a little bit from, you know, the initial experience, which was probably around 50 A.D. But here, we already stated that there had been some problems in this church, and Paul is addressing them again in this 11th chapter. And again, as you know, he expressed in verse 2 that, you know, he had this jealousy that he, you know, over them with a godly jealousy. I mean, he loved these people, and his great desire was that they were going to be able to stand before the Lord without sin, without blemish, without spot. So, you know, that was in his heart, but he was worried. Paul was worried. It says in verse 3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Again, that singleness that is in Christ Jesus, that clarity. Oh, yes, the wonderfulness of God's word. You know, he didn't make it impossible to come to him. You know, we don't need $1 million to come to Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to, you know, crawl up, you know, the steps of the Vatican in order to obtain salvation. It isn't like that at all. You know, he made it simple that we just come to him in faith and believe on him to receive him and repent and turn from our sins. That simplicity. And then going on to obey the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ with the infilling of the Holy Ghost being received. But here, Paul was concerned because he brought these people to the Lord Jesus. But, you know, there's always the possibility that we could turn away from the Lord. And so, here is this concern that their minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And it explains in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." You know, there is that potential here. And I'm coming back, Lord willing, to this 11th chapter, but turning over just for the moment to Galatians, the first chapter. But just see, you know, how important it is, oh yes, to have our minds subjected to the simplicity that was in Christ. Here in Galatians, the first chapter, Paul also is addressing and writing this epistle. But here, Paul also had a concern for this church that was at Galatia. And it says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And here's a very strong statement here in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. Oh, I'll tell you what, there is a need to hold fast to that gospel that was once delivered to the saints. Oh, yes, as it was established by our Lord and, yes, confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Oh, yes, the Lord buried their witnesses with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And as it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, oh, yes, the Lord came down and filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues and magnified God. Oh, so it was, that simplicity of the gospel that was established. But here is another warning, this church at Galatia also that, you know, had been established, and Paul's concern with them also that they seemed like they were removed from the word that had been preached unto them and had already accepted another gospel. And he's warning them, oh yes, there's some among you that are troubling you. There's somebody here that's perverting the gospel of Christ. And then he says, but if we or an angel from heaven would preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Oh, yes, and he repeats it again. Oh, yes, and you know, verse 10, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, I'm afraid that's what happens so very often in the pulpits. Seems that often people forget that the one that we're going to give account to is Lord Jesus. And, you know, I've even heard witnesses where, you know, there were certain ministries that knew certain things and said they couldn't preach it because they were afraid of the people or the consequences if they preached what was in the Word of God. I'll tell you what, to me that's fearing man rather than God. And so many people are like that, you know, they worry so much about what other people are thinking, you know, and the reactions of others, you know, will they lose loved ones, will they lose mother, father, brother, sister, sons and daughters, friends, loved ones. There's that worry. But there's only one that we need to please. Oh, yes, we might be alone in this world, you know. Oh, we could get to the place where there's none to stand by us. But our heart should be to please the Lord. Oh, yes, his word is forever established in heaven. His word is settled, and you know it cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, he is God, and he changes not. although the whims of man may change, although their gospels may change, oh, what they're preaching in the pulpits, I have a feeling is far removed from what Paul preached in the early church, what Peter preached in the early church. I have a feeling it's far removed. Sometimes it's nothing but a social gospel, trying to tickle the ears of men, you know, saying things that will be politically correct and all of that. Just fearing man and not God. But oh my, how important it is. Oh yes, to give heed to the gospel. And you know, that was Paul's concern. He was deep in his heart. These people that he loved, he didn't want them, you know, to give their hearts to another gospel, to believe another messenger, you know, another so-called minister, if he was not preaching the word of God. Also, we are told to try the spirits. I know in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And I'll tell you what, it is so like that. You know, it seems that the early church was beginning to see that there were men creeping in unawares, yes, that did not have the same love for the truth. You know, we're supposed to love the truth and sell it not. You know, there's warnings, you know, that there are some that are given over because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might believe a lie. And here we are down in this period of time, and you know, I'm afraid that, you know, if people don't love this word of God, if that truth isn't hidden in their heart, that they're going to receive another messenger in this time. And we've been warned that, oh, at the time of Jesus' second return, that there would be great deception in the land. Oh, that there would be false prophets. Oh, yes, they would be running to and fro, and oh, people would give heed to them. Oh, but we are admonished, oh, yes, to not be deceived. And oh, I believe that means to have that word of God deep in our hearts, to know that word of God. Oh, yes, Jesus said, "Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Oh, yes, so many of them did not search the scripture. They didn't look it out, you know. And Paul had written to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Oh, how can we rightly divide it if we don't know the word of God? Oh, praise the Lord. And we have such a tool. I just think how it is, you know, the early church, when they received a letter from Paul, or, you know, one of the early church people, that, you know, it must have been so dear to them. You know, they must have all, you know, read it with great gladness, because they didn't have a New Testament like we have it today. You know, we've got these letters that have been preserved and handed down to us. And, you know, we could turn to them and, you know, oh, they tell us so much. You know, there's so much that we could glean from them, but they didn't have that earlier. But yet here in these times, I believe we're living in a time of great heresy, a great departure from the word of God. Oh, yes, you know, as Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And, you know, that they would not come to the light because their deeds would be made manifest otherwise. And so it is today. People are indulging in sin and thinking that it's okay. And, you know, thinking that, you know, everybody sins, so, you know, what's the matter? You know, God's going to excuse it. But that's not true. God hates sin. God hates sin. And sin is the thing that condemned us. Oh, yes, we couldn't stand before God with sin in our lives. Oh, but I thank God he made a way. He made a way to reach out to fallen man. He made a way. He came to this world. God manifested himself in the flesh, to come to this world to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to save us from our sins. Oh, they didn't get it, you know. We know they were looking for somebody to deliver them from Roman bondage. But instead, Jesus came, that that first time so they might come to him. Oh, yes, that those sins, that big old burden of sin that was hanging over their heads, oh, might be forgiven, that they might be delivered from that bondage, that they might serve Christ with all their hearts, and that they might come unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for that wonderful way. But I'll tell you what, sin is not going to stand before God. And that's why, oh my, you know, even in such times like this, that warning needs to go out. Sin does not enter into heaven. Our God made a way so that we could be forgiven our sins. Oh, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He made a way. We have all sinned to come short of the glory of God. But you know, He made a way that we could come to Him with that load of sin, cast them down at His feet, and turn from them in true repentance, knowing that He would deliver us from our sins. Oh yes, that He would take all that horrible load of sins from off us and forgive us our sins. Praise the Lord. And yes, He made a way that we could be baptized in His name, name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's for the remission of sins. Oh yes, so that penalty for sin is God. Oh yes, and it made a way that He could fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, so that Spirit of the living God could come and dwell in our very beings. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord made a way. He made a way that we could come to Him, and He's not going to accept something less if we have rejected so great salvation. But here, back in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, he has a little bit of fear here that perhaps if another Jesus was preached, verse 4, or there was another spirit out there, that they would reach out for that spirit, or another gospel. Because, you know, there was something in their hearts. There was some kind of activity going on that was, you know, not what it should be at all. And then he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Whit also meaning a bit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He had worked with these people for 1.5 years, and so they should have known very well that he was, oh, bent upon serving the Lord, and that he had a heart towards the Lord, and all of that. They had to know that very well in their hearts, but somehow, you know, it seems like trouble had entered in, and perhaps individuals had come into their group to, you know, to persuade them otherwise. And he asks in verse 7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? And he mentions, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren, which came from Macedonia, supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. And perhaps that explains why he took up tent making there, back there in the book of Acts, that 18th chapter, because perhaps, and I don't know why, he doesn't really explain all the details here, but, you know, they obviously did not help him with his needs. It sounds like the people from Macedonia, the saints from Macedonia, had come down and helped him, but it sounds like this church of Corinth hadn't been too good on that end in succoring him with the physical things that he needed. But anyway, he didn't push it. You know, he didn't want to become a burden to them. And what, maybe they were very, I don't know. I just don't know. I'd speculate, as you all could, you know, but, you know, he kept himself from being burdensome unto them, and that's what he intended. And he says in verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not? Oh, God knoweth. Oh, man. He loved these people, but somehow they were fighting him. And, you know, he was very thankful for that help that he had received from the people in Macedonia and all. But he was also thankful for what God had done in their hearts likewise. And, you know, here he comes with, you know, questioning, what's going on here, you know? You know, why are, you know, you giving me this trouble, this static, you know? Why are you coming against me? Is it it's not because I don't love you. You know, the Lord, he chastises those he loves anyway. And, you know, that's not, you know, if we have trouble this life, it's not because God doesn't love us. No, it's because he sees the need to correct us so that we'll be right, so that we can stand before him one day. So, going on here, verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. You know, so there was some advantage here that some were trying to find some kind of opportunity to perhaps exalt themselves, to bring themselves in a level. Maybe that was part of what was going on here. There were some that came among them that, you know, wanted to look like they were in charge and wanted that esteem and importance. But Paul puts it right on the line here. In verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. See, here he's warning them. These people have come into their midst, and Paul is exposing them as false apostles, deceitful workers, pretenders, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, trying to call themselves a Christian, in other words. But they weren't. They weren't. They just, you know, had that pretense. They were using such names to look, to identify themselves. Well, I'll tell you what, this world that we live in right now, oh boy, it's been on quite a process. Here it started back in the early church, and you know, we see a progression that isn't too positive in this way through the time. You know, we know the 300s, there was a man named Constantine the Great, who said that he saw a vision in the sky. It was a cross, he said, and he had heard the words in this sign, conquer ye. And he had taken that to mean that, you know, he should convert to Christianity, I guess. But, you know, you can, you know, say you're a Christian, but, you know, if you've not been born again, you're no Christian, you know? It's just words. And that has happened so often. People take on that name. And yet, you know, they don't have any fruit. They've not been born again. They've not given their lives to the Lord. They're just, you know, false apostles or deceitful workers, maybe fooling themselves even. But so it was, you know, and Constantine, yes, persecution stopped at that point, there for a while anyway. But, you know, a lot of things entered in. Oh, yes, he built cathedrals. He did works of charity to the Christian people. But, you know, things became watered down. the true gospel became perverted, you know, because here was a pretender trying to lead Christian people, but he was a false apostle. He was not a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the corridors of time, oh, that trend has continued. And you know, these days, there's so much going on. There's this new age movement that's going on here. And there's a merging of religions. It was so obvious with Obama was president, it seemed like that acceptance of other religions and that merging, and with Pope Francis and everything else, you see this tendency. But oh yes, there's so many that have been deceived. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but this thing where they're trying to merge all religions into a collective wholeness, bringing them all together. That's what they're trying to do. These false leaders that are leading the people these days, and oh, there's so much that's going on. A man named Will Barron actually wrote a book. He had been in the New Age doctrination, and you know, it's quite a story. The Lord somehow got him out of it. It's quite a story, but he has a book about being deceived by the New Age. And you know, he talks about, as he was, you know, going through this, and he got to a point where the leader that he was under actually told them to embrace the Bible and to embrace Jesus Christ. But it wasn't the real thing at all. And she even had them going into other churches and you know, professing that they were Christians. And yet they were just, you know, they would take scripture and use it, but yet with a new age meaning and mentality. And they were going about, I mean, this man was so stirred, and he would have this voice that would speak to him and tell him to go do things. And he thought he was following Jesus Christ at that point. In fact, he'd even seen in a vision somebody that he thought was Jesus Christ. Later, he recognized it as Lucifer, who'd came to him tall and handsome and you know, as an angel of light, and convinced him that he was Jesus. Till amazingly, the Lord took that blindness from off him. But that's just a little sample of the things that are going on in this world, the twists and the turns and all the new philosophies and you know, the acceptance of trends from the East and everything else, Hinduism and everything else all being mixed together. Christian names often being tagged onto it. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's so many churches like that. Kenneth Copeland and Hagen and just so many of these, Benny Hinn and all these that, you know, have a mixture. You know, I heard that Kenneth Copeland had said that Jesus was soon to appear in a physical form and that he would be seen walking up and down the aisles in the churches, maybe accompanied with angels. But, you know, Jesus said, you know, if they say, behold, he is in the desert, believe it not. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Jesus warned that, you know, there was going to be great deception at the last time, and there would be many that would grab on to it and look for another Jesus, look for another Christ. But oh, here is Paul. He is warning. And, you know, even in the early church, oh, there were all these things, you know, that had entered in. He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he said, no marvel, For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, he could make himself look so bright and beautiful. And there will be many if they don't have the love of the truth deep in their heart. If they don't have the knowledge of the truth in their heart. Oh, it's so possible that they could be taken in by this deception. Oh, that's why we've got to know the Word of God. We've got to hide it in our heart. We've got to hold on to it. We've got to love the truth and sell it not. Oh, my. But here, yes, Paul is warning this church at Corinth. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Oh, that's the story there. Oh, my. And again, so much is happening in this world that we're living in. But I'll tell you what, there were so many warnings even in the Old Testament. Oh yes, the prophets would warn of the false teachers and the false prophets that many would give heed to. And that was a problem back then too. So many were duped into thinking that, you know, just because he was a prophet, that what he said was truth. Oh, Jeremiah wrote of them. The 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, just going here for a minute. Verse 16, Jeremiah 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Oh, has that happened today? Oh, I believe so. I'm sorry to say. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Oh, that sounds like today, you know. You can sin and get by with it. Well, everybody has a drink now and then. Oh, why? Everybody's doing that. That can't be wrong. Well, you can do this, you can do that, you know. You could cheat on your wife, you know. You can commit adultery, yes. You can do all those things. God's going to wink at it. Oh, no, that's what the false prophets declare. False prophets that are in the pulpit, oh, yes. Those that allow transgenders to stand there in their midst. Oh, yeah, and those that have been given over to lewd spirits. False prophets. Oh, those that say, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Oh, deceitful liars is what they are. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, O whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Oh, he says in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Oh, oh, the value of the Word of God. Oh, what is properly taught. Oh, the Word of God that tells us to repent and turn away from your evil ways, to get right in the sight of God. Oh, give heed to the gospel. Oh, that cry that comes out from the genuine servants of the Lord. And here, oh, how sad it says, if they had stood, if those prophets had stood in my counsel and the Lord's counsel, and it caused my people to hear my words, the true words of God, in other words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. In other words, the people would have repented had they heard the true message. Oh my, what a responsibility. Oh, what a reason to fear God. Oh, I'll tell you what, the value of the true Word of God. Oh, the Word of God that tells us to get right, to repent. Jesus has said, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that's just the way it is. Oh, you know, in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, just one verse here, there's going to be a day of reckoning, as we know. There's going to be a day when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that are done in our flesh. And here it tells us in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 17. And of course, I realize, you know, we get letters all the time from people who say, we can't find a church. We can't find anybody who's teaching the truth. You know, it's this, it's that. You know, they've compromised. They've accepted all kinds of things. They've got worldly music going on. You know, it's just a social religion. They're teaching out a lot of versions of the Bible. And how precious it is if we could find the true Word of God. And if that be the case, it says in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You see, that's what was in Paul's heart. He knew that those people were going to have to stand before God, that the day of reckoning was going to come, and they were going to have to give an account. And if they would only heed, if they'd only get right, if they'd only cast aside the things, oh, that were so wrong, and get rid of the false prophets that tried to come into their midst, that then they could stand before the Lord with joy, with confidence, because they had done the things that pleased the Lord, that they might stand there, that they, those that would be responsible could give a report with joy. And it says, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Oh, something to think about, something to consider in the Word of God. Oh, my. Oh, that day is coming. And that need to be established in the Word of God. But let's go now to Colossians. Colossians, the second chapter. It says in verse 1, Colossians chapter 2, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that burden that Paul had. You read it very often in his epistles. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then he says in verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Again, here, oh, this warning here, oh, to the church at Colossae, lest any man should beguile you, trick you, oh, yes, deceive you with enticing words, oh, yes, alluring words, oh, yes, that appeal to the flesh. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Join in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Oh, yes, the good things that were coming forth. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Oh, yes, we continue this walk. It says rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Oh, yes, we come to the Lord, and oh, we want to dig deep. We want, you know, our spiritual roots to go deep. Oh, to be embedded in the Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. And then not only those roots going down there, but then our spirit, our soul, our minds built up in Him. Oh yes, and that we would be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Oh, thankful hearts. Oh, praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy. But here again, oh, Paul must have felt it then, all these years before the early church yet. But here's another beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. All that simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. But here, oh yes, we could just give heed to the gospel. We could just give attention to the things that have been written. Oh, we could just be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Yet here is this warning, beware, beware. Oh, there's deception. Oh, you know, that warning that after my departure, grievous wolves are going to enter in and, you know, try to take over the flock. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All the things that might seem logical. Oh, yes, maybe so, you know, philosophies of men and all of that that comes from here and there and everywhere. But if it's not after Christ, that it's vain. Oh, it's of no value. It's just a tradition of man. Oh, we're not to follow things just because they're traditions. No, we're to be established in the Word of God and follow the things that are after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And praise the Lord, ye are complete in Him. Oh, our sufficiency, our wants are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We're complete in Him. Oh, we don't have to go look out for some other, you know, thing to fill in the gaps. Some other tradition, some other way, some other, you know, books or whatever, all, you know, to find Christ. It says, ye are complete in Him, oh yes, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh yes, that circumcision of Christ. Oh yes, when we come to Him in repentance and turn away from the things of this world, we turn away from the filth of the flesh. True repentance in coming to the Lord, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's, you know, as acknowledging of our sin is compared to circumcision, that circumcision made without hands. Oh, yes, baptism is considered to be a burial, where we're buried with Christ Jesus in the waters of baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Yes, we believe, we go down in the water and know that those sins are fully remitted. That's the operation of God, who hath raised Jesus from the dead. It says, you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, quicken means to made alive. He makes us alive in Christ Jesus, for we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. When we walked in sin, we were dead. We were dead. We didn't know the Lord. We didn't have His Spirit dwelling within us. We were without hope in this world and just living for our own self. But the Lord made a way, oh yes, that we have been quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, all those sins, oh, which were many, are blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that blood that atoned for our sin. Oh yes, as He hung on the tree, that cross of Calvary, yes, He did it. So that we might be forgiven our sins. Oh, yes, that blood that was shed was for us. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that it might take care of those nasty things in our life that nothing else could wash away. Praise the Lord. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Oh yes, the things from the old covenant that were contrary to us were at this time, they were nailed to the cross. They were taken out of the way. Oh, so much happened at Calvary. It says in verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, yes, there was a display as Jesus hung on the cross. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, those devils, those principalities were all brought down. At that point, there was an open display. There was an open parade in the heavens, in the spiritual realm. Oh, yes, when Satan was cast out of heaven. Praise the Lord. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Oh, these things of the past, it says, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Oh, yes, they were all necessary under the old covenant, under the old law. But, you know, they were a shadow. They were pertaining to the things that would come to pass. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Praise the Lord. So those things were a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Oh, He was bringing forth a way that we could all be born into the family of God, that we could become joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord for His wonderful plan. He said, let no man beguile you or trick you, mislead you, deceive you of your reward in a voluntary or put on humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Oh, all these things that, you know, come up with sometimes with vain religion, put on humility, people making pretenses and you know, acting like they're an apostle of Christ and indeed a deceiver and a worker of Satan. And it says, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, oh, the head is Christ Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. I love it how he puts us all together, you know, Jesus Christ being the head and also the chief cornerstone, but, you know, the whole body, it all flows together. He puts his spirit within us so that we could be joint heirs with Christ. And we all have our part in our function in the body of Christ so that, you know, we're working together, that we can all, you know, do that role that the Holy Ghost has put within us to do. And we all nourished by that same Spirit of the living God and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Oh, He puts us together. We can sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The Spirit comes down. Oh, yes. To fill our hearts with the things that we have need of, oh, the wonderful presence of the Lord, those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. It says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, yes, because as we come to Jesus, we die out to the things of this world, the rudiments, oh, yes, the elements, the principles of this world. And yet, he is warning here because he has a little, you know, bit of wonderment, you know, because it seems like in so many of the churches, even back then, There were things that were creeping in. There were philosophies of men that were creeping in. There were Judaizers that were coming among them and telling them, you know, to do this and to do that and to embrace this and to embrace that. And you know, it wasn't the true word of God. He said, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. All the things of this world that are all going to pass away. These religious practices that are brought into, you know, into the realm of reality among so many and accepted. But if it is not based on the true word of God, then they are all going to collapse. They are all going to fall away. They are all going to perish. Which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Oh, the things that are done as false displays, just fleshly displays, you know, false pretenses, false humility, you know, putting on a show, trying to, you know, pretend that they are a servant of the Lord when indeed they're not. But oh, yes, these warnings that we would not fall away, that we would not be spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Oh, that simplicity that is in Jesus. Oh, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, yes, and we are complete in him. Oh, yes, our fulfillment. Oh, our needs are all found in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, but again, there is this need. Oh, yes. As Paul was warning many of these churches, and you know, that church at Corinth, you know, that their minds would not be corrupted, that they would not be beguiled from that simplicity that is in Christ. Oh my, the very foundation of the gospel, the wonderful word of God, the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh yes, and how we can praise the Lord for what he has done, how he came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and I. God coming. Oh yes, even in our sin, he was loving us and making a way for us and then calling us out of the world. Oh yes. And making us his own. Oh yes. His own children. Joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. As it tells us in Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 4, as I get ready to close here. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, the wonder of it all, God coming forth when the fullness of the time was come, putting himself under his own law, being conceived of by a woman. Oh yes, with the purpose of redeeming his people from their sins, that we might be adopted into the family of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, for sure, we've been given so great salvation. And oh, we don't want anything to hinder us. We don't want anything to intercept that which God has done in our hearts, the wonderful word that he has put within us. And certainly as again, as Paul warned, you know, he did not want them to be corrupted from that simplicity that is in Christ. It would never believe another, that would preach another Jesus. We'd never receive another spirit or another gospel, but that the Word of God would be hidden deep in our hearts, and we would love it and hold to it and cling to it and share it in this world that so desperately needs the living Savior and no other. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh Heavenly Father, we just pray, oh God. We ask, oh Lord, that you'd minister to our hearts and that you'd help us, Lord. And, oh God, that we would never be beguiled, oh Lord. Oh God, that we'd never, oh Lord, be deceived. But oh God, that you'd put the truth deep within us. Oh God, in this world where there is so much confusion and so many false prophets and ministers, Lord, that stand up there and claim to be yours. But Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would talk to us, that you'd help us, oh God, that we could discern between the right and the wrong. Oh God, that we could know your ways and have them hidden in our hearts, Lord. Oh God, that the truth would be deeply embedded in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd help us here tonight and that you talk to us. Oh God, that you lead and guide us and direct us, Lord. Oh God, and help us, keep that simplicity, oh Lord, in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, oh yes, to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, Jesus said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals one more time and turn to number 18, the Solid Rock, number 18.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.